But today, I wanted to take some time again to reflect on the things that we have been talking about and to move us from teaching to practice. So we've been learning a lot, we've got knowledge, but I want to take that and see if we can shift our focus into obedience this morning. We know from our time together that Paul talks about the body of Christ, and that's all of us, and we're all a part of it. And by a part, he talks about the parts being various gifts of the body. So every believer is a part, is a gift of the body of Christ. And we talked about the joints. Paul talks about the apest gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And he talks about their role of connecting the body, that's what joints do, and of equipping the body. And we're going to talk about that more today. And then we talked about Jesus, who is the head. And of course, the head of the body gives direction. He gives coordination of all the parts and how they move together. And so as the parts and the joints are connected to the head, the body actually does this dance called the ministry of the church. And so last week we introduced how that works, how the body grows, and how we find our gifts. Today, I want to see if I can help you find your place in that process and in that body. And I want to create a visual that I think might help you. And so I want to begin at the very beginning this morning, that when we become a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit enters our lives, you know that. And the Bible uses a number of different phrases to describe this process, but one of the most common is that we are born again. The scriptures talk about being born again. And it also uses the phrases that once we're born again, we are now in Christ, which means we are investing in him. The phrase that we've been using out of John 15 is that we abide in him, so we are in Christ. But the flip side of that is also true, that the scripture says time and again that Christ is in you. And we notice that in the passage that I read a few moments ago from Colossians. And so Christ is in you. And last week we talked about the fact that if Christ is in you, if the Holy Spirit is in you, that means the full DNA of the body of Christ exists in each one of you, in each one of us. The full potential of the church, the full DNA of the church is latent inside every believer. Now, it's obviously not fully realized. It's not mature, especially when you're just newborn as a Christian. But the potential is there, just as a newborn has all the potential DNA of their parents. Christ is in you. And so we talk a little bit about what that potential is. The capacity for the fullness of Christ exists in each one of us. That when Christ was on earth with his ministry, we've talked about in previous weeks that he was an apostle. He was the sent one of God. He was a prophet tuned in to the heart of God. He was the evangelist proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, that he was the great shepherd and he was the rabbi. He was the teacher of the church. That was Christ. Christ is now in you, so all of that is in you. It's latent. It's not fully developed. And we will not all fully develop in all of those areas, but this is where we start. The latent DNA of Christ in us. So now we have to learn to take some steps in each of those five areas so that we could actually mature. We begin by crawling, and eventually we walk, and eventually we actually have some skill and capacity in different areas. We don't develop every skill set in our lives as we develop as humans, nor do we fully develop gifting in all of these five areas. But we are called to learn and to begin in each of these areas. And so what I want you to do with me this morning, we're going to take a few minutes to do this in small groups, is I want you to think about what would be entry-level behaviors that a newborn person in Christ could begin to practice to develop the fullness of their potential in Christ. Okay, so this is a newborn Christian. So don't think of, boy, a newborn, how are they actually going to, you know, have the gift of apostleship? Don't think about apostleship yet. Just think about, what would a newborn look like to be sent? Ignore the titles right now, if you will, and just focus on the phrases that are there. What phrases or what beginning behaviors might a newborn be able to do in this, in each of these five areas? So, for example, the first one talks about being sent, talks about taking the initiative. So, for a newborn, for a new Christian, who might they be sent to? Just what would it mean for a new believer to be sent? Who might they be sent to? For a newborn believer in Christ, what would it be? What practice could they do to begin to develop tuning into the heart of God? What kind of practices might they be able to do? So I'm going to ask you to take a few minutes, break into groups, and see if you can just fill out that grid there, the behavior, entry-level behaviors for each of those descriptive things. What is an evangelistic, or what does an enthusiastic recruiter, how could a newborn believer do that? So take some time in groups and work on that a little bit. And if the categories don't quite make sense to you, it's okay, because we're going to come back and debrief this. My purpose this morning is to engage you in discerning how these things work. So if it's not happening right away, that's okay. That's why we're practicing this skill. So take a few minutes in groups. Turn your chairs to those around you. Groups of five, six, something like that would be great, and I'll call you back in just a few minutes. All right, I want you to stay in your groups because we're going to move on to another question. But again, the purpose of this exercise is for us to think about what behaviors are we all called to apart from gifting. We don't even know what our giftings yet. We're going to move on to that. But just simple behaviors that all of us could do. So what's an example of a behavior for that we're all called to, that just being sent? What might that look like, taking the initiative? Who might you be sent to? Friends and family, yeah. Just the people that are right next door to you. It's really simple. This is not complicated, I promise you. What about the prophet's heart, tuned into the heart of God? What might a new believer do to learn to be tuned into the heart of God? Spend time in God's Word. Anything else? Yeah, pray. Being at church, listening, yeah. I mean, these are really simple behaviors. This is not complicated. These are things that every one of us could do when we come to Christ. What about the evangelist, the enthusiastic recruiter? What could a newborn in Christ say? Come to church with me? Yeah, your testimony, really simple. Hey, I just met Christ, and wow, this is, you know, it's, again, this is not complicated. This is just, This is what anybody could do that's a Christian. What about caring for the body? How might someone that's new to the faith care for the body? Get involved in serving, yes. Being sensitive to the needs of others. Encouragement card. Simple, just really simple things, okay? This is as simple as it gets. And what about, this one might be a little harder, truth obedience. Anybody come up with something there? Be willing to speak up. Yeah, because it's about truth and correction. Val, you were going to say something, I think? Listening to good teaching, yep. And the obedience, because that's what this is all about, okay? Great. So these are things that all of us can do, and if, as believers who have the fullness of Christ in us, we're not doing these things, then we go, oh, maybe I need to start thinking about how I can encourage someone. Or telling even my friends and my family my testimony about Christ. I mean, really simple behaviors. Has nothing to do with being gifted at this point, okay? But now, let's move on to gifting. As we participate in each of these areas, we'll actually discover that there are different gifts. There are different roles in the body of Christ that we might be drawn to. You have an experience and you go, boy, that was really difficult for me. I hope I don't have to do that a whole lot. Well, that might not be your gifting. But there are other things where you go, man, that was really cool. I can't believe I had the privilege of encouraging someone like that, and that really fulfilled me as well. That might be a clue that you're developing your gifting. So what I want you to do with this one, you'll see at the bottom of the screen, it says, I want you to try to think of either a job a person could do that would fulfill each of these, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. So either a job that a person could do, or spiritual gifts that would be associated with that job. Okay, so it might be a little confusing, so let me walk you through the apostle one. Okay, so to be an apostle is to be sent. Can anybody tell me a job, a career that someone might do if they were sent? Missionary. Thank you. So let's think about Christy, okay? Many of you know Christy Waddell. She's in Papua New Guinea working with Wycliffe doing Bible translation. Another job that could be done as an apostle would be a church planter. Completely different job, but it's also an apostle kind of job because it's extending the work. It's expanding the gospel and the work of the church, okay? Now, let's think of, for Christy, what kind of gifts does she have? What kind of gifts would she need and does she have to go to Papua New Guinea and do the work that she's doing? What kind of spiritual gifts do you think she has? Those of you who know her, just describe her for us. Fearless. She is, yes. Courageous. Yes. Very caring, compassionate. I'm sorry? Outgoing. Okay. These are great. Languages, yeah. She has a knack and a gift for languages, and she loves languages. And it's interesting that in the book of Acts, one of the first manifestations of the Holy Spirit was gifting in languages. Now, a little bit different, but still the same. One of the things that when I worked in international missions, when I was hiring missionaries, one of the things that I always asked them for was, tell me a story where you entered another culture and what that was like for you. So you fly to Cameroon and you get off the plane and you experience the heat and the humidity and the culture and I mean, it's just a totally different culture. What was that like for you? And for some people, they'll tell me, boy, you know, I was just so scared and nervous, and I couldn't wait to get to someone who met me by at the airport, and they would take me to the hotel because I was like, didn't love it. That was my experience. I did not love international travel. But there are others who said, man, I got off the plane and I felt like I was home. Like I was like, man, God, thank you for giving me this place. And I was looking for people that had that cultural, that love for other cultures, because that's a gift that God gives to some to expand the gospel, okay? So lots of different gifts. Now let's think about the church planting. What kind of gifts would a church planter need? What do you think? Sorry? Perseverance. Yes, I can testify to that. That's true. Others? Vision. I'm sorry? Vision, okay? A lot of church planters are preaching, teaching every week. That might be in the mix. To me, I would think, boy, if you're starting a new church, you should have an understanding, some wisdom about how the church is actually supposed to function. So there's that discernment, wisdom piece. Completely different set of gifts, but still within that realm of apostleship. And so what I want you to see this morning is how fluid this is. There is no one answer for any of these things, okay? So we've done apostleship together. In your group, see if you can come up with either a job or the gifts for each of the other four. Does that make sense? Job or gifts for each of the other four. Give it a shot and see how far you can get on this. All right, I'm guessing you haven't had enough time to do them all, but let's give this a shot here and just see where this takes us. So what kind of job might someone with the prophetic gifting have? Did anybody come up with anything?
Life coach.
Life coach. Oh, interesting.
Spiritual director.
Spiritual director. Wow, never thought of those. Great. Anything else? If the prophet is tuned into God's heart and helping others tune into God's heart, worship leaders would fit into that category, right? So I want you to think broadly. Sometimes we have this picture of what a prophet is and go, oh boy, that's this Old Testament Elijah thing, and I just can't imagine doing that. But worship leaders actually fit into this category. So there are some different things that would fit into this. What about gifts that fit the prophetic? What gifts might there be? Encouraging, yes. Boy, that's needed. To be articulate and to be a good listener. Thanks. Prayer ministries, okay. So there's intercessory prayer. Now I can't remember what it's called, but there's like healing prayer kinds of ministries, listening prayer, discernment, words of knowledge. There are times when God is speaking to the church and someone just has this sense that the heart of God needs to be expressed, and so they'll share something with the church, and so the words of knowledge would be, again, one example of how this would work. And again, it's not like Elijah, here's what's going to happen 400 years from now. This is God's heart for the church right now, is to encourage or to call to conviction sometimes, all of those kinds of things. Excellent. What about the evangelist? What kind of a job could someone in that realm have? And you're going to say evangelist, of course. So we got the Billy Grahams and we got that kind of stuff. Anything else? I honestly wasn't able to think of anything else, so I don't know if you will. Is there anybody? Outreach ministries, okay. traveling salesman, yeah. Being an apostolic evangelist, traveling, yeah. What about gifts? Sorry, Carrie. Yep.
You don't have to have like a typical church job.
Right. That's absolutely true. These get mixed up. So to say that you can't be an evangelist because your job doesn't do it, she's absolutely right. They're separate. The roles and the jobs are different. So gifts of evangelism would be things like connecting with people. Hospitality is really high in people with gifts of evangelism. Encouragement, communication, those kind of things. Let's move on to shepherding. What kind of a job might a shepherding person have? Anybody?
Pastor?
Could be a pastor. Chaplains.
It feels like hospitality goes under this one
too. I'm sorry?
It feels like hospitality goes under this one too.
Yeah, hospitality under shepherding, absolutely. Which is something to take note of, that many gifts fall under more than one category, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in a moment. Yes, care group leaders. Yep.
Mentors.
So there's lots of gifts within shepherding, and there's lots of ways to express it in different jobs and outside of career callings, as Kaylee said. Last one, teacher. What kind of jobs might a teacher have? Boy, there's tons of these. A Sunday school teacher. Seminary professor.
Men's ministry,
women's ministry, writing books, teachers, pastors. There's tons of teaching, and we're used to seeing these. And again, the gifts that would be associated with it are different because people have different gifts, but there is knowledge. Some people have language skills to be able to do this. Some don't, but they love the study. So there's all kinds of different gifts. There's different way to express these. And it's tempting for us to create boxes for these, but the point I'm trying to make this morning is that we don't create really tight boxes and definitions for these. So I'm going to move on to one more column. The scripture says that Christ gave to this body of all these gifts and roles, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and the role here was to equip the body and to connect the body. And you'll notice that this time, rather than having five distinct boxes, I just created one box, because this is where you kind of throw everything in the pot and stir it together and kind of see what you get. And I was thinking, how can I possibly explain this to you? And the only thing I could think of was to share my testimony over the last 20 years. And so I hope you'll abide with this. I typically don't like to talk about myself a lot on Sunday morning, but just as an example. So my primary area of gifting is in the apostle realm, okay? My mindset is always for how do we expand the church. My mind is always thinking about the fact that the church cannot simply exist for the sake of those who are in the church. That just doesn't make sense to me with the mission and the commission that God has given us. So in my mind, we are sent, and that's just a non-negotiable. You may have noticed that. Now, I've had a number of jobs over the past 20, 30 years that fit this calling in different ways. So if you look at the gifting column under apostle, I have had the church planting job. Okay, I was a church planter in Calgary. We were there for about 10 years. And as I was planting the church, the gifts that I were using were primarily the preaching and teaching gifts and the discerning and just how to organize a church body. Does that make sense? So church planting was in the gifting column. After that, I took a job in the equipping column, which was to oversee international missions for a denomination. Now, I was not a missionary, but I was overseeing the expansion of missions and missionaries into new countries. We were developing new partnerships, new models of missions, and then equipping missionaries within that setting, and then equipping churches to participate in these new systems for missions. So again, I was not the missionary. I was not the sent one. But I was the equipping one. I fulfilled the equipping and connecting role. So I was connecting missionaries to foreign churches and connecting churches to the missionaries, overseeing the equipping and the connecting. It's a very different role than church planting, but it's another expression of the apostolic role. Today, my apostolic calling is finding expression here at Mountain Park. And so again, the sent nature of the church, you can't take that out of me, you can't separate that from me, but now I don't do it through administration, now I do it through teaching. And so my primary role would be apostolic teacher. A lot of people who are church planters will be apostolic evangelists. Does that make sense? Because you're planting a church? I never had the gift of evangelism. So when we planted a church, I was an apostolic teacher that was building a system so people could come to Christ. But I wasn't leading people to Christ very much. So as an apostolic teacher, you may have noticed that I teach a lot, but I always have this slant in my teaching for the expansion of the gospel and for the nature of the church and how does this work. So you've got the apostolic teaching things together in that last column. Now for this past year, again coming out of last year's season of prayer and fasting, we have been focusing on equipping for evangelism. Which is interesting because evangelism, for my entire life, has been my lowest gifting. Every time I do any kind of spiritual gift inventories, evangelism is always my weakest area. I think in my life, I was actually thinking back, that I can only think of one person in my entire life that I led to Christ through a personal relationship, sitting side by side with someone explaining the gospel. That's only happened to me once in my entire life, and I was actually shocked that it happened, because that just doesn't happen for me. Now, there may have been others who've come to Christ through my teaching ministry, but that's not one-on-one evangelism. I hope there are others who have come to Christ through the work in international missions and creating partnerships in other places, but again, that's not my personal evangelism. So my role has been to equip the church for evangelism through that apostolic role. But doing that, I do have an understanding of how evangelism works within the body of Christ, and so I can equip it even though I'm not very good at it. Does that make sense? So the evangelism in Mountain Park in this church is not going to happen through me sharing Christ with people. I will do it, but I probably won't be as effective as you, because God has gifted some of you in there. My part is the equipping of the body. So now we've got the apostolic, the teacher, and the evangelist all mixed together. I've also been working subtly on creating space for prophetic ministries in our church, that we would be turning our hearts to the heart of God, become a discerning people, especially in listening prayer, and especially creating that culture among our leadership. Again, I'm not a prophet. That's not my gifting. But I see the importance of that gift in the church, so the equipper will connect to try to see that it gets done. And then you have shepherding. Now, I try to be competent in this. Someone said that if you're shepherding, if you know your sheep by name, okay? That the shepherd knows their sheep by name. And I'm going, well, I think I know most people, and I try, I work at this. I visit the sick. I'll attend to the funerals and the grieving families, and I will do that. But it is not my gifting. It's just not my gifting. But I'm called to each of these five areas just as you were called to each of these five areas, even though I'm not gifted in all of them. So what I want you to see in this is that this whole area of equipping is very fluid. God gives different gifts to different people, different seasons of your life or ministry. The giftings might change depending on a different role you might have at a different time. It's not a matter of saying, I have this one gift, and then for the rest of my life, I swim in this one lane. It just doesn't work that way. God is constantly challenging us and giving us opportunities to grow in different areas. And then the final point is very simply that the way God has created the body is that it is this living organism where each one of us is connected to Christ as the head. And that's where the fluidity comes in, because none of us are able to figure out how the church works. It is Christ who's the head, who directs each part, each joint, each gift to accomplish what needs to be done. Some are equippers, some are doers, some have jobs in ministries, some have roles within these giftings, and each of us needs to find our own place as Christ coordinates. So, three really points of response to all this. Number one, very simply, have you been born again? I mean, if this is where it starts. If you don't know Christ, if you haven't committed your life to Christ, then everything stops there. But if you are a follower of Christ, if Christ is in you, then understand that all of the potential of the fullness of Christ dwells in you right now. Second, as someone that has the fullness of Christ, do your behaviors, do your actions represent the fullness of Christ? Are there areas that you need to expand your practices? Maybe just make a discipline of being a little more encouraging, or make a discipline of listening to God in prayer and spending more time in listening prayer. The basic things that all of us can do. And then from that, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? And are they being practiced in the church? I remember someone teaching me this once, but the spiritual gift that you have is not for you. God didn't give it to you for you. He gave it to you for Mountain Park. And if Mountain Park isn't receiving the benefit of the gift, then what good is the gift? He gave it so that the body could have all the parts and all functioning together. And so we just have this picture, and I hope you can see yourself in this grid somewhere. Where am I practicing the basic practices, the NT-level behaviors? And if I'm not, what do I need to step into? And then from there, what are your gifts? Have you identified those places that Christ has given you? And the equipping, that comes later. I mean, at some point, God calls some to be equippers, but not everybody is called. And so we need to start with our giftings. And in developing the giftings, then the potential comes that maybe God would actually ask us to be equippers as well somewhere down the road. So my encouragement is simply this. Find yourself on the grid and identify a growth area and pursue it. Let me leave it at that. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for creating the body in such a dynamic way. Thank you for the privilege that we have to represent you in every area that you served, Christ, that we have that same potential in all of us, but that you also give us gifts to be able to serve in some of these areas. And so, as we ask for the fullness of Christ in our own lives, we also ask for the fullness of Christ in this body that is Mountain Park, and that we would see by your grace and by the leadership of Christ that the entire body would be equipped and built up to maturity, just as Paul talks about in Ephesians. I pray, Father, that you would oversee this in us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to us as individuals where we are and how you might ask us to respond. We submit this all to you in the name of Christ. Amen.